Y me okay. I'd like to call to order the May 4th, 2023 meeting of the Tacoma Civil Service Board. May we have the roll call, please?
Chair Hansen,
Here.
Board Member Sexton,
Here.
Board Member Klein,
Here.
Board Member Heller,
Here.
Board Member Wick,
Here.
Deputy City Attorney Martha Lance.
Here.
Okay. Next item is approval of minutes. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes for March 2nd of 2023?
Chairman Hansen, I move adoption.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Okay. Motion's approved.
I just want to clarify that I abstained. This was the meeting that I missed.
What's up?
I just wanted to clarify that I abstained from the vote, as this meeting was the one I missed as I was out of the country.
Oh, okay. And I didn't vote either, so I need to make note of that for the record as well. Thank you for reminding me that, with the board member Heller. Next item, communication for information. The board will be holding a study session on the topic of residency immediately following the meeting. Next item, action on matters still pending, new business. We have nothing.
No.
Consideration of matters set for public hearing. And we do have, I believe, a hearing scheduled for the next board meeting, June 1st of 2023. We have a civil service coordinator report.
I do not have a report this evening.
Okay. The next item is the Human Resources Director report and requests.
Thank you, Chair Hansen. Good evening, and thank you for allowing me to give you some updates this evening. I'm Shelby Fritz, Human Resources Director. So in terms of updates, I wanted to let you know that we have completed our implementation of our non-represented employee classification and compensation study, and are in the process of considering employee appeals at this point. We opened a window for people who felt like they were put into the wrong classification, the opportunity to appeal. So we've received all of those and are now evaluating them with our consultant. Yes.
Do you know the number, how many of those there are?
I want to say it was around 200.
200 people have asked for an appeal that they think they've been misclassified.
That's my recollection. It was somewhere around that, yes.
Can I ask you, that's out of how many employees?
1,111.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So we're hoping to have that process wrapped up by June 30th.
Shelby?
Yes.
Is there any particular classification that the majority of those appeals arose from?
I can't tell you at this point yet. I think somebody's not muted. Could you mute?
It's me.
Yeah, I'm not muted either.
You're okay.
I don't believe there's one specifically that, or a group in particular that has stood out so far. I'll let you know if that changes or I get more information on that though as well.
Okay.
Can I ask another question? So these are all non-classified employees.
Non-represented.
Are they non-classified? They're classified. Some are, some aren't.
Yes. Very small number of classified employees in this group, because the majority of them fall into the non or represented classifications. But yeah, so it's a little bit of classified, majority is appointive, unclassified
positions. I was wondering if any of those people would have rights to appeal to us.
No, I did check that because there were a couple questions that came up about their civil service status. And that is not something that can be appealed to the Civil Service Board. It's a determination made by our city attorney's office. So, yeah, that's where we are.
Okay, so their classification is not appealable to us.
Their classification is, so their civil service status is not appealable to you. Their classification is going through an appeal process with our classification and compensation team and the consultant that we used. So if they felt like they were put in the wrong classification, we're taking a look at that.
All right. Now, if someone was classified, represented, wouldn't they would have a appealable rights to the Civil Service Board?
I'm not
theoretically.
I'm not certain.
Why wouldn't they though?
Well, I have to go back and look at the code.
Sure.
Normally, if somebody that was represented felt that they were in the wrong classification, we would work with them and their union.
Of course. Always the first thing you do.
But I don't know that there's a formal appeal that can be filed that way. I'll have to double check.
All right. Just, you know, I certainly didn't think that was going to come up tonight, you know, but
interesting. You always keep me on my toes.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Director Fritz?
Yes.
In general, what is the nature of the appeals? Are they, what classifications are they trying to get into as opposed to their present classification?
That is similar to what Board Member Heller asked, and I don't have a kind of breakdown of the classifications of the appeals with me. Once I know more about that, I can certainly bring it back to the board, but I don't have the specific details on that.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions on that topic? Okay. The next thing I wanted to give you just an update on is there was a change in state law following a lawsuit from some hourly employees at the Port of Tacoma. Regarding travel pay. This was back in 2021. It actually changed the state minimum wage law and offers now more of the time hourly employees travel for out-of-town business, lots of words there, to be compensable time. So in the past, when you were driving to the airport or you were sitting on a plane, that wasn't considered compensable time if you were an hourly employee. This new law made it that. So it's taken us a while, but we have developed a guidance document for our employees and supervisors. We're hosting some information sessions with them on it in the next couple of weeks. But wanted to let you know of that change and what we're doing to make sure that everybody is on the same page and consistent with how they treat employee travel.
Is that... something that the city has regularly, employee travel?
Yes. All kinds of training, conferences, things like that. Unfortunately, they're not all located in the area. So sometimes we have to send folks to different locations, especially in the utility, you know, some of the line folks and others.
Yeah. I have a question on that then. So which window of time qualifies for compensatory? So you're traveling to the airport, you're on the plane, you get there, you have dinner, the conference starts in the morning or something like that. Is it just when you're en route, the compensatory time?
So essentially what's always been paid time is when you are engaged in the conference or whatever the business travel is for. So if you're on your own, you don't have something scheduled, you know, that's not part of the conference, that's, you're on your own, you have free time, that's not paid. Like sleep, people have asked me, so if I'm sleeping, but I'm in business travel, does that count? And the answer is no. But it, while you're at the conference, it counts. When you leave your house to get to the airport or wherever, that all counts.
Okay.
Sitting on the plane counts. Mm. Those kinds of things. It's a pretty major change from where they've been in the past. Board Member Heller?
Yes, for my own personal selfish reasons, can you send me that?
You bet.
Thank you.
Can you also send it to me out of my own personal selfish reason?
You bet.
Maybe.
We don't want to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah, don't reinvent the wheel. This is a long, painful process. So I will send it to all of you. All right. And then my last update is just because I'm very excited about this and I got to participate in this process. We have appointed a new communications director after a very long recruitment trying to find good candidates. You may know her. Her name is Amy Clancy, and she is a Tacoma resident and a graduate of Mount Tacoma High School, and was for a long time a journalist for Cairo 7 News, and most recently the communications person for Seattle Police Department.
Oh,
so she comes to us with some awesome experience, and we're super excited to have her.
Nice.
Yeah, thank you. So that is it in terms of my updates. We do have one request for you this evening, and I'll invite Marie Angel up to present that to you. Wherever you're comfortable.
Okay. Good evening, Chair Hansen and members of the board. My name is Marie Angel. I'm a human resources analyst, and here tonight I am going to rely on Ruben McKnight to talk about a temporary appointment extension for our intern, Paige Rooney.
Well, thank you, members of the board. Thanks for the opportunity. So I'm not familiar with this process so much. This is obviously my first time here. So I'm here to, to support a request to extend one of our skilled occupational interns that works in my office with the Historic Preservation Program for additional work. I think she's been with the city since June. Mm-hmm. And so her appointment period is coming up soon. We are presently in the middle of Historic Preservation Month in the city of Tacoma, which is the month of May, as well as full programming calendar. And Paige has recently, I believe, obtained her master's in Historic Preservation and Cultural Resources Management. So she's an expert in our field and has been a really valuable member of the team that we have. I know that she would like to stay on a little longer if we could keep her through the end of the year. And she's gaining a lot of experience working with the community, working in public programming, public history. And for our part, we're getting a lot from her in terms of her presentation. One of the things that I think is will be valuable to her and certainly for us as well is to be able to participate and support our educational programming, which we do a full calendar of, and we'd like to keep her for a full year of programming through the end of December. And so that's really what I have to say about the request, I guess. We value her highly. She's a great addition to the team, gets along very well with everybody. And really, I have a historic preservation coordinator, now analyst, who also works for me, who Paige directly supports. And I know that this has been an important part of the team for us. So,
is this a budgeted position that's project related? Like you bring an intern in to assist on a particular project for an amount of time that's determined in advance, or does it just have the title intern, but it's not really an intern kind of temporary project related position?
So thank you for the question. And if anybody else has a better answer, I'll just jump, I mean, I can jump in and just say that we have budgeted positions in skilled occupational interns in the planning development services department. This is one of those positions. And so it's not a project-based position, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It is one that we try to keep filled, you know, as we go through the intern terms that they have of employment, then we'll, you know, then we recruit as we need to as well. It just so happens, especially right now for us, the I think our anniversary date on the beginning of June is a kind of a critical juncture for us as well. And so we really like to keep some continuity there. You know, I know she's interested in doing that too, but it's not a project-based position.
Did we get any paperwork on this? I can't find it.
It's the one in really small print.
Gotta fit it on one page.
Well, now I probably still can't find it.
It's right there. Your hand is on it.
My hand is on it. Oh, it is. It is really small print.
Yeah, future reference. Can we have like at least 12-point font?
We can make that happen.
So, do we need a motion?
Chair Hansen will.
Yes. When we're ready to address this, well, I'll ask for a motion. Yes.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
Why can't this is a temporary position? Why can't it be made a permanent position?
I can respond to that too.
Thank you.
So typically these are pathways to permanent positions. The idea is to give a person who's, and that's the skilled occupational intern classification, is one where somebody's already got some skills, but this gives them some experience and additional skills. This person was working on their master's degree during the process. So this will set her up nicely should she choose to apply for a city job or another historic preservation job, you know, somewhere else.
We do have, I know there's at least one of our skilled occupational, actually two of them, over the course of the time that I've been here, one in at TPU and the other one's in economic development now. And so this has provided a pathway for city employment or other agency employment for some of our interns.
Well, how long do you keep someone an intern?
It's typically in 6-month increments. So you will do two 6-month periods.
So 6 months from now, you're not going to be asking us for another extension.
Likely not.
Promise?
I can't promise. We do find exceptional people and we try to figure out how to keep
them. Yeah, and I just hate to see these exceptional people, you know, stuck in these temporary positions.
I don't think if you talk to this person, you would think that you'd get the impression they're stuck, because they really are learning at this point and providing a good service to the department in the process.
You know, the first thing I always try to pick up on and notice is their start date, you know, because usually, you know, we get to, you know, see the request for an extension, you know, well past time.
Like after the
expiration? Yeah. Usually when we get these requests for an extension, it's well past the time that they should have been extended.
Okay. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Shelby? Sorry to interrupt, but I know I'm kind of on the wall and not at the table. With this internship, this is not a full scope position, correct? This is somebody who's there to absorb pieces of different positions and, you know, supplement, not take over regular work of other employees, correct?
Correct. And if you want to supplement that in any way.
I guess I'll just say we have, you know, the skilled occupational interns are in the planning services department, PDS. Paige happens to be assigned to historic preservation. We also have long-range planning skilled occupational interns. And there's really a mix in terms of the experiences they have in those positions, providing support to the planning department. It may be, research, public programming, public events, looking into some questions we receive from customers. It's just a wide variety of things. And at least from my perspective as a supervisor, that's really my role, is to try to provide as much exposure to the different kinds of work that we do. But it's not like a defined role where we're going to make you, you know, sit and review permits all day or something like that. That's not happening. It really is it's a supportive role where we're looking to provide the diversity of experience.
Maybe better said than I could have said.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I move that we grant the city's request for an extension of temporary appointment to Paige Rooney, skilled occupational intern.
And would your motion be in that she would be in that position until December 1st of 2023?
Exactly.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed, say nay. The motion passes.
Thank you, Chair Hansen and board members.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that concludes my report this evening.
Thank you. Next item is comments by the public. Do we have any comments by the public?
Okay. Chairman Hansen?
Yes.
This Steve Klein. If there aren't any comments from the public, I wonder if I could just briefly go back to something Dan raised it caused me to think a little bit more. Is if we get these requests, and I don't have enough experience to know the consistency of that, after the fact when the original term has already been, is that the situation? It's not the employee's fault. It's the supervisor just waits to the last minute.
It could be for a variety of reasons. It shouldn't happen that way. And we're doing our very best to stay on top of it. But there also aren't a huge number of these types of employees.
Because I would hate to see the board have to punish somebody to stop bad behavior, because it sounds like the employee would pay the price when in fact it's the frontline supervisor that's not keeping track.
Oh. Yeah, we're on that and watching it closely.
Thank you.
So you can slap my hand if it happens again.
Put it up there.
Thank you, Chairman.
Okay, do we have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Did you get anyone from the public?
I asked for comments by the public and no one responded.
I see a hand.
Are they muted? Is that?
Oh, I think there's a mouse.
Okay. We're good.
Okay. Do you have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, the meeting is adjourned. And now we'll have our study session. And Director Fritz, would you like to make your presentation?
Sure. Can I ask a quick question before we start?
Certainly.
We've had several study sessions on this issue, and I'm just curious if we have a game plan. I did look through the presentation we're going to see tonight, and I think it's going to be a good one, but do we have a plan of when we're going to actually call for a question and take action as a board on this issue?
Thank, Thank you. And I was wondering the same thing myself, because we have had several study sessions, and I actually want to direct this question to Ms. Lance. And Ms. Lance, I wanted to ask you, since we're all here tonight, would it be possible for us to consider a motion regarding residency tonight? And would we have to reconvene the meeting to do that? Or would we have to put that on the agenda for June, for the June 1st meeting?
Yeah. Thanks, Chair Hansen. If I could remember the order of your questions, I could answer yes, no, yes. But yes, you would have to do it in a regular meeting because you've adjourned this meeting. No, we can't do it at the meeting, even if we reconstituted, because it wasn't on your agenda. And then I guess, yes, you could do it in June if you had a plan. You can certainly discuss in this context, you know, sort of concepts of that maybe somebody would bring a motion to do X, Y, and Z at the next meeting or something like that. But you can't actually reach a decision, and you can't, you can't vote.
Okay. So then what we'll have to do then is put on the agenda for the June 1st meeting, a vote on the residency issue.
Well, perhaps we should discuss it first.
Yeah, like I said, you can discuss concepts maybe after the presentation, you can discuss, you know, I think we should adopt a preference program. I think we should, you know, leave it as is. You know, you can discuss all manner of things. People can sort of air their views. But then I think at the meeting, you know, you'd want to, if somebody had a motion that they would want to have considered, you can either bring that to the meeting or provide it earlier to the chair and to Wendy. And, you know, everybody knows that would know that, you know, this is going to be a possibility, whatever the desired and requested outcome of, you know, particular board, you could always put it forward, discuss and vote it up or down.
Well, I think, Ms. Lance, you just said that we had to have this on the agenda in order to consider it for a motion. So that's what I'd like to do.
I'm just saying like what it could be brought to you to put on the agenda, a particular motion. You know what I'm saying? Like you could say, I'm just, this is hypothetical, but, you know, say I was a board member and I could say, well, I really think we should, you know, just settle this by adopting a preference program. And, you know, and I could say, I'd like to have that motion heard. You know, you could put it on the agenda for a meeting where it could be heard.
Well, I would like to put it on the agenda for the June 1st meeting.
Right. But I guess what I'm saying is if people have particular motions, I mean, I understand. I mean, it's, yeah, you should put the topic on it. But if people have a particular thing that, you know, they want an outcome to be heard, I don't think there's any prohibition against presenting that ahead of time as a motion that they wish to have considered.
Well, whatever. But I guess rather than let's just for now, let's put it on the agenda that we're going to consider residency and we're going to make a decision on residency at the June 1st meeting. And then if someone wants to, and then we can fashion our motions at that particular meeting in any direction that we want to go.
Yeah.
But we do need to get this. We have, as Board Member Wick has stated, we have discussed this. And I think we're at the end of the road here, and we do have to take action. And the only way we're going to be able to take action is to get it on the agenda. So we're going to have to put it on the agenda for the June 1st meeting. And then if someone, you know, objects to that at that June 1st meeting, then we can certainly consider that as well.
Chair Hansen, would you like me to begin?
Yes, okay. If you'd like to begin.
So just a little background. I think we've probably been discussing this now for a couple of years. Our last discussion led me to prepare a series of options for you to consider. regarding creating some kind of residency preference program. So that's what I'm going to go over with you today. So just a reminder, what the charter says around residency is listed here, and it does give the Civil Service Board the authority to waive residence requirements when such a waiver is deemed to be for the best interests of the city. So I think we're looking at figuring out a way to honor that statement, but also, or that section of the charter, but also figure out what we can do to kind of bring things in alignment with the need to be able to recruit and hire quickly. Next slide, please. This is just more background on residents, a piece of it that's in the Tacoma Municipal Code. There you go. So this one, just a little bit of background. I know you've probably been exhausted with all of the information surrounding this, but wanted to remind you that the residency requirement doesn't apply to police and fire for the RCW. And in order to have a residency preference program, we must identify what the legitimate government interest is in putting this program in place. Some of the potential reasons I added here, enhancing the quality of performance, people who live in the community are often more invested in the community, increasing the likelihood of connection with community officials when you live in the community, minimizing absenteeism and tardiness, economic benefits, and tax exemption purposes. Okay, so the first option, I couldn't leave it off because you know me, what my interest is in getting rid of the residency waiver or residency requirement altogether. I created pros and cons for each of these. And I would say in the pros categories for continuing the blanket waiver, it's consistent with what we do for appointive staff. It's also in alignment with the current talent market. As I've mentioned in previous conversations, we're having a difficult time finding candidates at all for our positions. Our pools have gotten a lot smaller with the competitive market. And this is an area where maximum flexibility helps us because we have a pretty regimented process for classified employees as it is. And then the cons are what I think Chair Hansen has said regularly. It's not in alignment with the will of the voters.
You can only come up with one con?
Well, yeah, I have interests here. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, that.
Well, I just, pardon me.
Sure.
Excuse me for interrupting. But, you know, the charter is the biggest blaring reason. And, you know, it seems like, you know, we should mention, you know, isn't in alignment with the charter.
And that's what I was trying to capture with the will of the voters, because it's in the charter and we've talked about how it's been voted on in the past and the voters have not. So certainly add that. This is just my brainstorm list for you all. So that is the continuing the blanket waiver piece. The second option I've prepared is identifying City of Tacoma residents while they're in the interview process. So when candidates are selected for an interview, ensure they are identified as City of Tacoma residents to the interview panels and hiring managers. Pros, it provides timely recognition to the individuals making the recommendations and hiring decisions. Meaning, if you're considering two employees, for example, that are equally qualified, you have that information, you know, handy when you're making the hiring decision. And then in terms of cons, it adds it's a manual process and adds more work to our human resources team to make sure that they prepare that every time. The third option that I presented on page 7 is awarding a preference point to City of Tacoma residents. So during the scoring process, add a point to applicants who are City of Tacoma residents. We can do this at the same time veterans' preference points are added. In terms of pros, the additional point recognizes City of Tacoma residents and moves them higher in the ranking on the eligible list. There's no room for subjectivity. And then in terms of cons, the additional point doesn't have anything to do with the applicant's, you know, overall ability to do the job, but they would be minimally qualified if they, you know, made it to this point process. It would also apply to the address candidate lists on their application, and there's not a process for verifying that address.
Director Fritz?
Yes.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions in this regard sure. to this. How many preference points are the veterans awarded?
Oh, goodness. I am going to have to remember. I want to say it's three. There's two different levels. And if any, if anybody from Talent Solutions is on and can speak to that, I would.
Yes, we do preference percentages.
That's
for
right.
someone, depending upon their military service background, it can be up to 10% of what their original ENT is, or they could be 5%. So it's either 5 or 10, but it depends on their service.
Thank you.
Okay. And also, thank you. And also, you referred to during the scoring process, and I just want to get clarify what the scoring process is. Is that the process whereby you score, you consider the score of the applicants on a written test, and then you score up an oral interview when you interview the applicants? You assign points to that interview? And is that part of the scoring process?
Yeah, not exactly. So typically, and this is just in general what happens, you have to achieve a score of 70% or higher in order to be placed on an eligibility list. What normally happens is that someone takes an examination of some sort, so that they'll get a score on that examination. And then additional points like veterans preference are applied after that score is established. And Talent Solutions team, correct me if I'm wrong on that.
You're correct.
Okay, so the 10%, so you mentioned 10% or 5%. So how is that calculated, and is that added onto the score on the written test?
Yes. The 10 or 5% of the candidate's actual score is added on as long as they meet the 70% and then actually become part of the list.
Oh, okay.
And veteran preference, we go through and assess whether they have and the documentation required. And then depending, again, upon their service history, it's going to be 10% or 5% generally of the score they received coming into without veteran. Does that make sense?
Okay, so if you have an 82, say an 82% on the test, and you would get it, then if you're in the 10% category, you would get 8.2 points added onto your score, test score?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. And then the applicants are chosen beginning at the top of the list and going down? Or, I mean, the applicants who are going to be interviewed for the position are chosen depending on their position on the list, right? And their position on the list is a function of how they score on the test, right? Am I understanding you correctly?
It's, what I would say, just as one of the analysts, is we provide them with the list, the eligibility list, everybody who passed with or without veteran preference, that's included. They get the ranks that they're allowed to see. And they have the choice. The department chooses who they do not, and I hope they don't go by rank order. That whoever's reachable to them, they can invite to interview. I know it's complicated.
You did great, Kat.
Okay, so the people who are chosen, so anyone that passes the test can be chosen to be interviewed?
Yes, they're all reachable to the department.
Okay, and you said that you hope that they don't consider just the people who are the top individuals on the list. Could you explain to me why that's your...
That's a personal point of view. The reason is you could test well, but really, how can you perform well? Are those exactly the same things?
Okay.
Well, and I think Kat is trying to say too that we try to offer the maximum amount of applicants to ensure we have a really the most diverse pool possible.
Yes, that is an option for us to do as analysts in Talent Solutions to provide a greater diversity, a greater depth of candidates. Yes.
Okay. So if I'm understanding this correctly, then if you are really perform well in the test, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get, say you're the top, you have the top score on the test. That does not necessarily mean that you're going to get an interview. Right?
I would say that is correct.
Okay.
Whatever the group of candidates who are provided to that hiring department are reachable, and you know that's determined by civil service, those are the ones, and any of them can be chosen to invite to interview.
All right. Thank you very much.
Board Member Heller has her hand up.
So my question, you were talking about a percentage, and then here you're talking about points. And I'm just trying to compare apples to apples. So could you tell me what percentage do you think 1 point would equate?
I selected a point for simplicity, because when we calculate the veterans' preference, it could be a range of points.
No, I get that. I'm not holding you to it. I'm just looking for a ballpark in my understanding.
I don't think I could give you a good,
Okay.
Shelby, may I just really quickly, if this helps, Amy, is the Department of Veterans Affairs at the national level, at the Fed level, they do by point, quote unquote point. At City of Tacoma, I think it's in the TMC, but it's somewhere that says we do percentage. So there is a little bit of difference, but it's based on the code and we follow code. And so percentage based on what their score is, like 8.2, then, or, 80.2, then they would get 8.2 percentage.
Okay, so like 10% increase would be like a 10-point increase?
No, based on their score.
So if they got 100%.
Yeah, only if they had 100%.
Right.
So you're not looking at the percentage of the number of points possible in the test. You're looking at their score.
Yes,
each individual candidate's score.
Okay.
If they pass the 70% mark, mm-hmm. if they're veteran preferenced, then we look at their score. If it's 80.2, they'll get 82, they'll get 8.2.
Got it. So I'm
with you. But that's different than Fed. Fed requirements are actual pointage, but I'm not that familiar anymore because we do City of Tacoma.
Thank you. That was very helpful.
Thank you, Kat. I appreciate the phone a friend option. Any other questions on this particular option?
Well, Chair Hansen and Director Fritz, so we presume then the way you put this together that the blanket waiver is the first component, and that's a given. It's a blanket waiver plus one or more of these other things.
Correct.
Okay. Yes. And just this was the brainstorm I had with our recruiters and talent solutions team of all the potential things we could think of that would potentially be something you would be interested in and work to support the city of Tacoma residents.
Can I wander around in here for a bit? There was some discussion about diversity. And I know in prior attempts down this road, we've looked a lot at diversity, and we looked at, the hiring numbers at the city. And, it seems like, there's, a lot of room for improvement with hiring at the city. And my thought's always been, if we held the city more to the residents of Tacoma, then perhaps the workforce of the city would look more like the population of the city. Where, I think we're really missing that right now.
And I think that's a really, really good suggestion and piece to this, but the reality of the recruitment market is that we're having trouble filling some of our positions within the country, finding the qualified folks to do that. So absolutely. I mean, we are definitely interested in that. And Tacoma does have a very diverse population. It's just, they don't always have the people that we need for specific highly technical jobs
and if I may, I think a lot of jobs are not highly technical. I think sometimes perhaps our standards are too high.
Okay. Fair. Examples in that area you want
to? Well, it seems like every meeting, I'm bringing up when we see these waiver requests, and we see the minimum requirements on there, I know it's case by case, job by job, but I really think those need looked at. And I really think, sometimes the minimum requirements, seem, much more than the job needs.
We definitely actively did that within the class and comp study for the non-represented positions. That also often takes place during bargaining when we're looking at our represented positions. Definitely something we're looking at because we know that opening those up to really the minimum qualifications is important so that you're considering all kinds of different experience that might not be as traditional.
I'm not requesting that we get into any bargaining agreements. Sure. Here. Thank you.
I just like to chime in a bit too, in that I don't think and I don't want to misconstrue that your requirement for the credentials of any position are too high. I think they're all the positions I've looked at, they've been appropriate to that specific position. It's just the residency piece. I mean, I totally agree with you. There are lots of positions that are very difficult to hire for. And it makes sense to have a waiver on those type of positions. But at the same time, there are a lot of positions that aren't. And I don't see how a residency waiver in line with the charter is necessary or needed. I mean, just look at what's before us tonight. You had a customer service special representative. So we're talking about, you know, a more entry level. We're not talking about something that requires a master's degree or multiple years of experience. It's more of an entry level position. And you had three city residents, 10 people on the list, and you're extending the list. But, you know, if you were to go to the three residents and then if they're not acceptable or they don't meet the criteria or they weren't a good interview or they don't make a good match, going on to the rest. But, and you're abolishing a list for a custodian that had 8 city residents on it out of 17. So we're not talking about high level positions always. There, I think there's a appropriate area where waivers are appropriate, but doing a blanket waiver for these low level entry level positions undermines the intent of the charter in my perspective.
I agree with what Board Member Heller said, and but I do want to, and I know we've discussed this before, but I can't keep track of how many of us have, we've all missed meetings periodically, and I can't keep track of who was present when, but we have discussed the fact, and Director Fritz has discussed her quandary of offering a position to someone and then waiting a month for us to meet before we grant the waiver if that's necessary. And I do think that, you know, I do think that we need to have a residency requirement, to be real honest with you all, and because that's what the voters want, that's what they voted for. But I do think that we need to make life less difficult for Director Fritz, which would require us, I think that we really need to have possibly 2 meetings a month, and not a formal meet. The second meeting would be just a meeting that would be necessary to consider the waiver. We wouldn't have a full meeting, but we would have an extra meeting to consider a waiver for a particular position if Director Fritz needed that fairly quickly. And I think we should all be aware that we should be willing to do that so that she's not put in a position where she's offering the position to someone and then she has to tell them, well, you're going to have to wait a month. And then that person is saying, well, gee, I'm going to be looking for other jobs and during that month, and I may be available, I may not. But Amy, go ahead.
So the other thing I was simply going to say is, in the past when we've done it to make it easier for recruitments, is when we know we have a difficult position to fill, to have the director Fitz bring the recruitment to us before we're dealing with any particular people and waive the residency requirements for that recruitment at the get-go. So that when you're going through the process and you found a good applicant that does maybe doesn't live in the city, you don't have that issue to deal with before you can hire that person. It's been addressed based on the position and the number of requirements that are necessary to hire someone to, say, be a medical examiner or be a forensic specialist or be a high-level computer programmer.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Chair Hansen?
I think Board Member Wick has her hand up too.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure who had their hand up first. But
what?
Whoever wants, just go ahead and We're a little more informal here, so.
Yeah.
Well, I would just like to say that I think we need to let Director Fritz get through her presentation because we're completely off track from her presentation and we're starting to rehash discussions that we've been through for a number of these sessions. And I think we should at least get through this presentation and then perhaps we come up with a list of potential ideas for motion and discuss them. But I feel like we're pinging all over the place and not coming to completion on this presentation before we start putting forth ideas about what a motion might look like at our next meeting.
Okay. Well, let's let Board Member Klein, would you like to make your comment? Well,
no, I'll pass till after Director Fritz can finish her presentation.
Okay. On page 8, supplement the work that we're currently doing. The person that was answering all your questions, Kat Flores, is regularly out in the community, meeting with residents at job fairs, at street fairs, all of the above, to let people know about our jobs, but enhance that with a specific targeted professional recruitment campaign for the City of Tacoma community. Obviously, not really any cons to that, but in terms of pros, it has the potential for capturing people who haven't thought of the City of Tacoma as an employer before, and maybe aren't, you know, people who aren't tuned into community events and such. So that
no negatives,
right? Yeah, exactly. Then on page 9, and my final idea here is to, for our HR analysts and specialists working with a hiring manager on a recruitment, to sort the eligibility list to show City of Tacoma residents first on the list. So of all the people that pass, instead of looking at them in rank order, looking at them where City of Tacoma residents are first. It would put them at the top of the list. The hiring manager would see them first. But it also could be pretty confusing because it's not the typical rank order that we're looking at folks in. Plus, it's a lot of manual work for our recruitment team. So those are the brainstorm ideas that we came up with. I'd love to hear any questions, thoughts that you might have based on that. And you can end the presentation. Thank you.
Board Member Klein, would you like to make?
Yeah, I'm presuming that from what I've heard from everybody here, that if you have an entry-level position and there are a number of citizens in Tacoma that meet those qualifications, and so you'll have a hearty list of people, that you would hope that the Tacoma people would come out on top because of the demographic issues and all of the positive things associated with that. But then we have the issue with, particularly with the utilities, that there just aren't a number of people sitting around either unemployed or, you know, looking for it in some of these positions. And so you got the challenge of how do you deal with the fact you want to incentivize people at the entry level, the people in Tacoma that do have those basic skills. At the same time, we don't want to tie our hands and make the process even more complicated and potentially lose candidates that we're fighting for in the broad Puget Sound area for these critical positions. So it seemed to me the preference approach in some way made sense. Or the last time we also talked about if there are specific positions that we can show historically or market search, whatever, are those ones that Tacoma is not a market that we could, whether you do it annually or whatever, you bring those to us, we look at the evidence, and then we blanket waiver those. And I'm not suggesting you do it forever, but at least there be some scientific analysis process associated with that. But even so, I would still say you could add a Tacoma preference to those in some way, because if you did have one person in Tacoma that did qualify, you'd hope that they would make the list. So.
I've got a question that might be a bit of a detour, but you know, I keep thinking about retention, and that, you know, I think you know, a big reason for, you know, hiring residents is that you know, a resident would be much more likely to want to stay in that position. You know, whereas if I, you know, lived, you know, in Kent or Seattle or even Puyallup or somewhere, and I got another job offer, I'm taking it. Whereas, you know, someone who lives here, you know, I've asked about those numbers before. Do we have those?
What specifically are you thinking about?
You know,
how many employees live here versus not?
Yeah, I think that would be something good to look at, residents.
I think I provided that a little while ago, but let me.
I think. Probably. I know we've brought it up. Yeah. We've talked about it before, mm-hmm. But
I think that's a valid point and it catches my interest. But then I start thinking, so the person lives in Ruston. They live in Faircrest. They live right on the border of Tacoma, Pierce County. Now, all of a sudden I say, is that really someone who lives a distance away? I mean, Faircrest, you're right in the middle of Tacoma, you're closer to the city government office and utilities than someone who lives in Northeast Tacoma. So then you start, we don't want to make this more difficult and start giving points for how close you live to work.
But you know what one of our biggest tools is to be getting people to come to work here right now? It's because we offer telework.
So they can live anywhere.
And it's really helping us be competitive because a lot of places are much more hybrid. Yeah. I mean, and in some cases, we offer full telework.
Yeah. I'm going to just speak up in case.
Yes.
Being up on the screen, I know it can kind of be challenging when you're not a body in the room. One, I believe it's anecdotal to say that because somebody lives in Tacoma, we would retain them longer as a city employee. I don't know if there's science behind that or verification behind that. I would like to know, and I'm curious, I forgot who just said it, but is it possible to differentiate between the more challenging positions to fill versus the more really truly entry level, to the point of perhaps an annual waiver for those types of jobs? Is that something, Director Fritz, that is, are you able to separate those as to what is truly entry level versus what we are ongoingly having the challenge of filling those and having to go, you know, out of state or out of country? Is that possible?
Absolutely.
So it would be possible to waiver, perhaps on an annual basis, a specific set of positions and leave the others untouched on an annual basis or on an as needed basis. That would be doable and would support your needs in recruitment and filling the position.
Yes, and I believe that's exactly what Member Klein was suggesting too. Yeah. Great minds.
Yeah, that's why I thought I heard that. I just wanted to make sure you're able to separate.
Well,
as you stated it back better than I originally stated, it just got me to think. And in some ways, that's, I think, a way that upholds what some of the board members have talked about in terms of the sanctity of the Tacoma Association. I mean, you're not blanket doing it necessarily, and you're requiring the HR department to validate those cases where you provide it on an annual basis. And then maybe we end up agreeing you don't need to do it for the entry level again, which upholds the original principle.
I can certainly
take I knew someone had said it. I just wasn't sure who, but yes, I'm very interested in what you're having to say as well.
Well, just to follow up on that, considering the great amount of experience and expertise that Director Fritz has, and I'm sure that she has a very good feel for what positions she's going to have a difficult time getting a large labor pool for. And for example, Board Member Klein, talked to me before one of the meetings about, when he was in his position as director of the Tacoma Public Utilities, they had a difficult time finding linemen. I believe it was linemen, wasn't it?
Yes.
And that would be the kind of position where we would probably not want to limit that to City of Tacoma residents. And I think with all the experience that we have out there, I think we're going to be able to nail down pretty quickly what positions are going to require a waiver right off the bat and what positions are not.
What I can do is work with my talent solutions team and come up with kind of where that breakout might be, those two categories. So I can give you a better look at what that looks like in our next meeting.
Okay. Well, I think at this point, I'd like to know if anybody thinks there's any reason why we should not vote on this at the next meeting. And if we should vote on it, do they have any ideas? I think we've all, three of us have expressed some pretty clear ideas about not wanting to grant the waiver. Are there any other ideas for motions that the other board members would like to, for us to consider at this? Yeah. Yes, Board Member Heller.
I have no idea what you're planning on voting on. I mean,
well, we're not voting. We're not voting on anything tonight.
But you're talking about putting a motion on for a fairly complicated issue on the floor for next meeting, and there've been so many ideas which I think many of them were very good in the presentation, but I don't see how, what's fleshed out. What are we voting on? What's the plan?
Well, what I'm saying is that we would vote on whether or not to grant a blanket waiver.
Okay.
So the motion would be, are we going to grant a blanket waiver, or are we not going to grant a blanket waiver? And if anyone has any ideas for motions other than those two alternatives, we can discuss that now. But if you don't feel that we're ready, if you want, we've had quite a few study sessions on this topic.
No, I understand. If that's the motion, okay. I thought we were talking about a point preference or splitting the classifications up or that type of thing. We're planning on doing something more. I think we need more time, but if it's just the up or down waiver vote, okay, I'm ready for that.
Okay.
I would like to see a motion put forward, especially if we're able to separate out the classifications that are truly entry level that aren't so problematic with recruiting talent from nearby versus those that Director Fritz ongoingly has challenges for. I would much rather see us vote on at least an annualized waiver for that segment of positions and not do a waiver for the ones that are truly entry level that aren't so problematic to get talent from locally. I have to tell you, we've been talking this to death, and I think we need more action than just blanket waiver or not blanket waiver.
Well,
okay, are you saying that you want to see an actual list of positions for which a blanket waiver would be granted, or a motion, a friendly amendment to the motion of waiver that states that we are not granting a blanket waiver, but we will for positions that are require a great deal of technical expertise and or education.
Mr. Chairman, we are not in a public meeting right now.
No, I'm not asking.
We're talking about a potential motion. We're talking about a potential motion. We're not voting. I'm saying what I could see a motion being, which I believe Martha Lance said we could discuss initially at the onset of this, is I am not saying a permanent blanket waiver. I'm saying we could go annualized for the positions that Director Fritz puts forth in a recommendation for the ones that are problematic, because I believe that could change from year to year, potentially moving forward. The ones that could be problematic in a year's time, or I'm throwing out a year. I'm saying it could be something like that. There's a waiver for that year. And then subsequent to that, we would vote on it the next year, and it could be a changed list of positions. But I do also believe there's probably a segment of positions that are a moot point that aren't problematic or challenging for HR to recruit from locally. So what I'm saying is I would see something, or would like to see something more like that versus a simple vote on a blanket waiver or no blanket waiver. I mean, we've studied this for months now, and I think we can talk about potential options or things that folks can get on board with instead of continuing to kick the can down the road.
Okay, but let's try to fashion some motions here that we can consider it. And
Chair
I'm not
Hansen.
Asking people to vote on the motions.
Chair
but
Hansen.
I think to get us down to the point where we have enough specificity so we have an idea of what motions we're going to be considering at the next meeting. But Director Fritz?
Deputy City Attorney Lance was first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, thanks. I guess I just wanted to add a little bit to the conversation. I think that your discussion that you're having right now is fine and directed to a good end of shaping what would be for consideration in an actual open public meeting. The other thing I was going to suggest is, you know, if this discussion is difficult off the cuff, but with the chair's permission, people could craft offline motions, like Board Member Wick could develop her idea that she was discussing, and, you know, write it up and present it for agenda planning. And we could put an agenda out that said the board, you know, is planning to consider a motion on the general topic of residency,
right.
You know, and then could include thing, and then you'd at least have it on your agenda now and give you some more time to work out some thoughts as to what you might want to present for you to vote on at the meeting. That was
right.
Just a thought.
Well, no, I'm just trying to save some time. I mean, we can do this at the meeting in June 1st, or we can do it now, or that's a good suggestion, you know, that people could sit down and try to develop some thoughts on the kind of motion that they want. And then we could all consider that at the next meeting, but I'm just trying to get some specificity that we all could consider. Board Member Heller. Yeah.
Shelby, do you think you'll be ready by the next meeting to have those classifications, kind of the bifurcation of classifications, to present to the board?
Yes. And what I was going to offer is I would be happy to develop a proposal around that to bring forward to the board on their June 1st meeting as well.
Okay, that'd be great. Yeah. We do have the hearing on June 1st as well. So this could end up being a long meeting. And we obviously the parties, we're going to have the hearing. And then we'll see how much time we have. We may not even get it done at the next meeting, but yeah. We can certainly take a crack at it.
We shouldn't even attempt it if we've got a hearing. We've got to do the hearing first.
The thing is, though, this has been dragging out for so long, and I'm getting frustrated. I think some other board members are getting frustrated, and it's time. I know it's taking time, but you know, when we commit to being members of a board, you know, sometimes we have to commit to putting in a few more extra hours to get this job done, and we're just not getting the job done the way it's going. And I think at some point we're just going to have to commit to putting in some extra hours. And if this hearing goes on and on, obviously we're going to have to just delay it again. But I think we can at least take a crack at getting this done at the next meeting. If we can't do it, we can't do it, you know. But this having, you know, we're not getting anything done on this board because we're just not taking the time to do it. And we have a lot of things on our plate. I know that Director Fritz has wanted to take a look at the personnel rules. That's going to take some time. And I think we're all going to have to be willing to put some time and really some real thought into doing the work that we need to be doing. So I think
historically, we met twice a month. And it was specifically so that these kind of, you know, things to be addressed and handled.
Yeah, and that's a better situation than we are in now. We have a lot on our plate right now. So let's just take it, if we don't have time, but let's just put it on the agenda. And if we can't iron it out next meeting, we'll just have to do it the one after that. But we'll just wait for Director Fritz's proposal, and she needs time to work on that, and we can wait for that. And I think that's, you know, that's obviously I think that's a great road that we can go down. I think it's a great idea that we, you know, put some parameters on this and some specificity so that Director Fritz has some idea of how she's going to, you know, deal with this particular issue. And if she doesn't have enough specificity, then she's not going to have enough direction. And her job is hard enough as it is without us giving her very specific direction. So, you know, unless someone has some other ideas, I mean, I'm, you know, feel free to say whatever you want. I mean, do you have anyone have any other ideas as how to handle this issue? Okay, I guess, are we done for tonight then?
Good night.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Were you morning late?
No. Yes. Goodbye. Move to adjourn.
Okay, thank you all for your time, and I appreciate all your help and all of the help from Miss Lance and Director Fritz and Wendy. Thank you for your time, and we'll see y'all next month.
Thank you.
Thank you.